like to discuss different aspects of Eretz Yisrael that often confuse. People mix up different topics together. First is, the Psukim and Novi refer to Yerushalayim as Tabur Ha'aretz. Tabur is the belly button. Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara points out, Eretz Yisrael Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos. Eretz Yisrael is higher than the rest of the world. That's why when one moves, the Eretz Yisrael is called Aliyah. When one moves away from Eretz Yisrael, it's called Yerida. The Psukim say when the brothers of Yosef were shuttling back and forth from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, so when they went to Eretz Yisrael, it's Vayalu. When they went to Mitzrayim, it says Vayerdu Achi Yosef Hasar. This is called Aliyah, this is called Yerida. What does that mean? Eretz Yisrael Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos. Its first Alps are a higher elevation above sea level than Eretz Yisrael. So in what way is it higher? So the Baal HaMa'or, Rabbi Mizrahi Alevi, in his commentary on the Rif from Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof HaMebeis, explains a passage in the Gemara there in Rosh Hashanah. He explains what all of these Gemaras mean, why the Navi refers to Yerushalayim as Tabur Haaretz, and why it's called Eretz Yisrael Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos. He says this has to do with the Bria, when the Baruch Shalom created the world. Sheshes Mebreshes, so the earth is a globe. The Gemara, the Tanaim knew the earth was a globe. And in the globe you have two hemispheres. And one of the two hemispheres has Yerushalayim in the center. So when the Baruch Shalom created the world, he can hold whatever he wants on top. Traditionally, just not traditionally, how do you say, conventionally, as a means of convention, when we make a globe, we put the North Pole on the top. If you want, you can hold the South Pole up. I was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Hold Scranton on top. You can hold whatever you want on top. So the Baal HaMa'or says, when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, what was on top? What was Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos? He says, Eretz Yisrael was Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos. Eretz Yisrael was in the middle of the upper hemisphere, the two hemispheres. So the upper hemisphere is the hemisphere where all of the civilization began. Adam and Rishon was planted in Gan Eden, somewhere in that hemisphere. And then the people moved to America, that was later. The people moved to Australia and to New Zealand, that was later. But first came that upper hemisphere. And this is relevant. What's an afkamina? What was on top at the beginning of the Bria when the Baruch Shalom pushed the button and the whole Bria started and then the earth started to revolve on its axis? So what's an afkamina? What was on top and what was in the middle? So he says that's the nafkamina for that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof in the days. But the Gemara, the way all of the Rashi and Tosfos do not learn like this, but all the other Rishonim interpret that the Gemara is dealing with the topic of the international dateline. Where is the beginning of all of time? So when the Pasuk says, Vahiyere, Vahiyboike, Yoy Mechod, so it with Yerushalayim on top, so 6 hours to the east and 6 hours to the west is one hemisphere. And the bottom 12 hours is the other hemisphere. So if Yerushalayim is on top, the first place that it was Tzeisar Kechavim was 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, the way the Baal HaMa'or interprets, that's where the international dateline is. It cuts through Korea. You look 6 hours to the east, it cuts through Korea, and then if you keep on going, it cuts through Australia. International dateline that's on all the maps, that was a man-made invention. That's because they didn't want to make anybody crazy, so they drew a line in the middle of the Pacific where it's not going to bother anybody. But Al-Fidin, that's what the six of the Rishonim will talk about the topic. The other Rishonim don't discuss the whole topic of international dateline, but this six of seven Rishonim who do talk about the dateline, they all say the same shot in the Gemara. That's what the Gemara says. That all of time began 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. That was the first Vayera Vayvoker that began at that point. So according to the Baal HaMa'or, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, played a role from day number one to the beginning of Sheshes Mebereshes, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He held the world was in such a position that Eretz Yisrael was on the top. That's why we say Eretz Yisrael Gevoya Mikol Ha'aretzos. In the first place, that was Tzeisar Kechavim, Ayer Vayvoker, was 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. That's the first inyan of Eretz Yisrael, unrelated to all the other mitzvahs that we're going to talk about. The second inyan of Eretz Yisrael, we'll get to later. The third inyan, we'll get to later because of a bunch of other things. The third inyan is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, The pasuk says that Terach was an Eved Avodah Zarah. And it says in Chumash, at the end of Parshas Noach, Terach started to travel towards Eretz Yisrael, Vayavolu at Choron. And he stopped in Choron, they never got to Eretz Yisrael. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu, told him you should go all the way to Eretz Yisrael. So it would appear that even in the days of Terach, they realized that there's something special about Eretz Yisrael. So we'll talk about that later. But the third Indian is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, he should walk around all the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. How do you translate the words of the pasuk? This is a promise that will be fulfilled in the distant future. That someday, in years to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, to his great great grandchildren, to his descendants. Or does he mean, no, I'm giving it to you now? By walking around the borders, you acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael. That was the Kinyan Chazaka. So the Gemara says this was the question that the Benoit Tzolotchot asked of Moshe Rabbeinu. Benoit Tzolotchot came and they asked the Shaila the entire Teirush. So the simple reading of the Pasuk is that they didn't know what the din is. If a man dies and he has sons, and he knew the sons get the Yerusha. What if he doesn't have any sons? So the Yerusha doesn't go to the daughters, or it does. The simple pshat is that was the suffix. So the Gemara in Yesh Neuchelin quotes one Tana who gives a different interpretation of the whole parasha. Benoist Tzlopchot were Chachmonios. They knew the din. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the din also. That whenever there are no sons of the daughters get the Yerusha. But they were asking a different shayla. Their father, Tzlopchot ben Chayfa, was a b'chor to his father. He was the firstborn to Chayfa. And the din is that the b'chor is entitled to a double portion. The pasuk says in Chumash Dvarim, b'chol asheyi matzi lo. The b'chor is only entitled to pishnayin, b'muchzak and not b'ra'ui. Let's say the father dies, and after he dies, then he wins the sweepstakes ticket. Then he wins a lottery. He bought a ticket in some lottery. He wins the lottery after he died. So he didn't own that asset before he died. So the b'chor is not entitled to pishnayin anymore. So the Gemara quotes this one time and says that was the shayla of the Benoist Tzolotchot. They wanted to know whether they knew, Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and they knew that they're entitled to Yerusha. The shayla was, are they entitled to get the Pishnayim in Eretz Yisrael? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu ki luchot tenenu, was that a promise to be fulfilled in the distant future? So they didn't gain Eretz Yisrael, they didn't gain ownership of Eretz Yisrael till they conquered the land, till after the Shevet Shekavshu. Kibish Mohammed was kaina. Or should we say no? When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders of Eretz Yisrael, that constituted the king of Chazakeh. He was kaina Eretz Yisrael right away. So all along, Eretz Yisrael belonged to Avraham. When he died, he went to Yerusha to Yitzchak. When he died, he went to Yerusha to Yaakov. He died, he went to Yerusha to the Shvatim. And then when Chayfa died, he already owned a share in Eretz Yisrael. So that was Muchzok. So his son, Tzolotchot ben Chayfa, was the firstborn. He was entitled to Pishnah. That was the suffix. And what was the answer? So the answer was given, Noson titei lahem achuzas nachalo. And the first Mechumish said, why did Moshe Rabbeinu, why was he commanded to use such a loshon, Noson titei? Because the whole meduba was on the Tishnai. That they're entitled to Yerusha, that they all knew. Moshe Rabbeinu knew, and the Menai Slavcha knew. The whole suffix was, are they entitled to Tishnayim on the Chelik and Eretz Yisrael? So the answer was given that yes. Eretz Yisrael, Mechzaka seit me'avaseinim in Moshe Avraham Avinu. When Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, that constituted the Kinyan Chazakeh. In fact, the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kuf has a Machlokes HaTanoim. Does that work Bizman Hazeh also? If I have a farm and I want to sell it to you and I tell you walk around the borders, would that constitute the Kinyan Chazakeh? And you say no, Chazakeh is only the way it's described in the Mishnah, Noal Gadur Uparatz. You have to put up a fence, or you have to put a lock on the door, or open the door, so on. Other things are chazakah. But just walking around the borders was a hayroa shah. Once in the history of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that will constitute a kinyan chazakah. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. But all the Tanoim assume, all the Tanoim of Bava Basra Daf Kuf assume this pshat that it says in Perek Yesh Neuchlin that when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, that was a kinyan chazakah, and he was going to Eretz Yisrael immediately. The promise, Ki Luchot Tenenu, wasn't to be fulfilled in the distant future. He was going to Eretz Yisrael immediately. The Gemara says there, when they present this pshat from this Tana, So the Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu himself wasn't sure what the answer was, whether Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha or not, because when he was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to deliver the Nevuah, the Bnei Yisrael, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not sure what that meant. I delivered the Nevuah. Word for word, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me to tell Bnei Yisrael. It says, whether Morosha is the same as Yerusha, because Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders, or Morosha is not the same as Yerusha. Yerusha means that my father had it, and I carry over the ownership. Morosha means that my father didn't get it yet. We're going to get it in the future. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, he delivered the Nevuah a few years earlier, before he tears from Sam, but he's not sure what the word Morosha meant. So then he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the answer is, Nasanti Tein Lahem, give them the double portion. It's interesting. There is a din of Kibush Muhammad, that when one country wages war against another, whether the Heter or the Yisr, a lot of wars are the Yisr. Once in a while a war is the Heter. We have a right of self-defense. We have a right to fight against the countries taking us over. So it doesn't matter whether the Heter or the Yisr, the Gemara in Gittin has a whole sugya that there is an international principle of Kibush Muhammad, that the country who wins the war is kinda the land and the automobiles and the televisions and the clothing and the people, as Avadim, the kinda all of the property of the country. I think Gemara explains that this principle of Kibush Muhammad doesn't make a difference whether Jews won the war against the non-Jews, the non-Jews won the war against the Jews, or not one non-Jewish nation won the war against another non-Jewish nation. The Gemara couldn't visualize a war between Jews and Jews that they didn't discuss. It's a war between two groups of Jews. Whoever wins the war, kind of, that they don't discuss. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim all the three cases. If the Jews win the war against the non-Jews win the war against the Jews, or the one non-Jewish nation wins the war against another non-Jewish nation. That's what the Gemara has the same statement, Amun Amoyav, Tiharu B'Sichon, that the Jewish people were prohibited to take from Amun Amoyav, but Sichon Melech Amori waged war against Amun Amoyav, so he was kind of all of their territory. So later when the Jews won the war against Sichon, so we were allowed to take the areas that used to belong to Amun Amoyav, because they no longer belong to Amun Amoyav, now they belong to Sichon. That's the principle of Kibush Muhammad. So that's the question. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, and Eretz Yisrael was taken away from the Jewish people by the Babylonian armies, they won the war, so did the Jewish people lose their ownership of Eretz Yisrael at that time? That's what the international principle of Kibush Muhammad is all about. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer HaShviyos that not. That's the Rav Soloveitchik assumed, the double Pashav also, that not. The Kenyan that was made by Avraham Avinu when he walked around the borders, he was told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a shvua, he made a bris with Avraham, with Yitzchak, with Yaakov, that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps on repeating the bris. After he tells Avraham Avinu to walk around the borders, then he makes a bris with Avraham Avinu, is going to give Eretz Yisrael. What do you have to make a bris? He gave him the matan already. What's the need for the bris? And what does he have to make a bris with Yitzchak and again with Yaakov? So the Chazon Ish explains, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said also, that the Ramban HaChumash explains that when you make a bris, or you take a shvua and a bris means al kol panim, under all circumstances, no exceptions to the rule. Not that if you deserve it, you get it, if you don't deserve it, you don't get it. No, under all conditions, al kol panim, that's the Lashon HaRamban. So the Chazon Ish explains, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have only given Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu, and he would have made the Kinyan Chazakeh, that's all, without a bris, without a shvuah. So then at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, we would have lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. So we wouldn't have any claims to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch made a bris, that Eretz Yisrael is the exception to the rule. The Jewish people never lost their ownership of Eretz Yisrael from the days of Avraham Avinu. The individual people who owned shares in Eretz Yisrael, at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, I had a house, you had a house, he had a farm, he had another farm. Individual people owned private property. So Kibush Muhammad cancels our private ownership. We no longer own it. But the bailus of Klaus, the overall bailus of Klaus was never broken. All the 70 years of Golus Bavel, and after the Churban Bayis Sheni, everything, all Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. All of Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people. Since the days of Avraham Avinu, we never lost our ownership. It's not that in 1948, the British were kind enough to give Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. It didn't belong to the British. Even though they won the First World War, it doesn't help. Kibbutz Mochama works on every other area of the world with the exception of Eretz Yisrael. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to point out. The opening Rashi on Chumash says, Lumos Olam will complain against the Jewish people and claim, listim atem, that we stole Eretz Yisrael, that it really belongs to them. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, I think I just read that in yesterday's New York Times. Listim atem. Every year, every day, the New York Times is the Arabs are claiming that the Jews stole Eretz Yisrael. That's Rashi, the first Rashi on Chumash. Almost all of them claim listim atem. So what's the answer? We're not listim. Not because the British gave us Eretz Yisrael. The British wanted Balabatim to give us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and he's the Balabas. He can give it to whomever he chooses. He chose to give it to Avraham Avinu. He told him to make a king in Chazaka by walking around the borders. And he told him at that time, he was Kaina. Take it from the yard. And we never lost our ownership. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu made a bris and a shul with Avraham Avinu. Eretz Yisrael always belongs to the Jewish people. Now, this is the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. From the days of Avraham Avinu till the days of Yishuv Benun, Eretz Yisrael didn't have Kiddusha with respect. We'll get to a different kind of Kiddusha. Eretz Yisrael didn't have any Kiddusha. With respect to the mitzvahs, Hatluyos Ba'aretz, that depends on Kiddusha. So the Gemara learns that from the Psukim, that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was only completed after the Shevesh HaKavshu, the Shevesh HaChilku. The Pesukim say in Yeshua that it took 7 years to conquer all of the Lamed Aleph Malachim. Eretz Yisrael is in the center of the three continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. So it was always a central location. All the nations of the world wanted to have an Achiza there. So they were Lamed Aleph Malachim, such a tiny little area. There were 31 kings in other areas. Each one had a share in Eretz Yisrael. So each one had an army to protect their little share. So it took 7 years to conquer all of the Lamed Aleph Malachim. It does not say in Tanakh how many years it took for the Chalukas Haaretz. That the Gemara says in the end of Erechim. That's an oral tradition that we have. But just like it took 7 years to conquer the land from the Lamed Aleph Malachim, so too it took 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael amongst the Shvatim, then among the Mishpachas, then among the Echidim. Why should it have taken 7 years? I don't know. Must have had a lot of lawyers. And they were just prolonging the case that they should make more money. I don't know. But that's how the Gemara has a tradition. It took 14 years. So Eretz Yisrael didn't have the full Kedusha with respect to the mitzvahs, Atlias Baretz, till the 15th year. They were not Mafresh, Trumas, and Mises till the 15th year. And the first Shemitah was year number 21, because the first 14 years, you only start counting 7 years of Shemitah after Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. It didn't have Kedusha till the 15th year. So the 15th year was the first year for Shemitah. The first Yovel was the 64th year. It was the 50th year after the first 14 years that didn't count. So the Gemara learns this that from Sukkot with respect to all of the mitzvahs, Atlias Baretz, Trumas and Maisers, and Shemitah the Yovel, and Leket, Shikra, Peyu, all the mitzvahs, Atlias Baretz, the mitzvahs didn't begin to be observed until Eretz Yisrael was already completely kavush. The Chalukah, the dividing of Eretz Yisrael, is the Gemara of the Kibush. So the kibush from the Lamed Aleph Malachim took 7 years, and the Gemara of the kibush was the Chalukah. So after the Gemara of the kibush, then Eretz Yisrael was endowed with the full kedusha. There's one exception to the rule, the mitzvah of challah. So the Gemara points out in the second parak in Ksubis that miyad kishenichnus alaretz nischayv v'chala. The din of challah began right away. Even before the Shevesh HaKavshu, right away they became mechuyev to be mafresh challah. But all the other mitzvahs, Tatlias Baretz, the Gemara says, only began after the first 14 years. This is the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael with respect to the mitzvahs, Tatlias Baretz. Then there's another Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael has that appears in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph and Kelim. The Mishnah mentions Esek Kedusha Sein. There are 10 levels of Kedusha. So it says, the highest level of Kedusha is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Abadim, with the Aron Kodesh. Then the Heichal is a little lower level of Kedusha. Then the Azor is a little lower level of Kedusha. Then the Ulam, then Bein Ulam Mizbeach, then the rest of the Azara, then the Harabais, there's a lower level of Kedusha. Then in the Harabais, they have different levels, three different parts of the Harabais, Midirabbanan. And the Torah, all of Harabais is all the same thing. And the Mishnah includes Chilukim Midirabbanan. So the Harabais itself is divided into three parts, Midirabbanan. And the Mishnah lists off all the differences, Halacha Lamaisa. What's the significance of the Kodesh HaKadoshim over the Hechel? What's the significance of the Hechel over the of Bein Hula Vela Mizbeach? The differences on the level of the Reis and the level of the Rabbanan. And then it says, you're going further out, the center of all the Kedusha is the Kodesh HaKadoshim Bein Abadim. Then you're going further out, so you say, all of Yerushalayim has a slightly lower level of Kedusha than the Harabayis. The Dinim are slightly different. Then it says, all Ayaras HaMakaf Eschon and Mimosu Shubanun have a slightly lower level of Kedusha than Yerushalayim. And then it says, the rest of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha. So it says, the Mishnah says, Nafkaminis Halacha Lamais. So when it tells you Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedusha, so with respect to what does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? So you can make a long list. Trumas and Mais and Shmita the other, Lekin Shikha Peh Chala. Doesn't say any of the above. It says two or three. There are two girsas in the Mishnah. It says, Oimer Ushte Alechem have to grow in Eretz Yisrael. An obscure dinner, no one ever heard of that Mishnah. No one ever heard. The Oimer has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael, the barley. And the wheat for the Shtei Alechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. And then the two girsas, when it says Bikurim, it doesn't say Bikurim. Why doesn't it list off all the normal din? What do they call these obscure din? So Rabbi Nachum Zember was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto, the end of the Second World War. Nachum Zember was a businessman. He had a good, there were a group of Chaverim, all Polish Gaonim. They were all in business. And they knew Shas, Bavli, Rishami, everything they knew by heart. So one of his buddies, who was also a businessman, was putting out a sefer. He was putting out the Sifrei Zuta, with his Oris Ambur de Sifrei. His name was Yoskevich. So when Yoskevich put out the Sifrei Zuta, so he sent the whole manuscript, he sent all the galleys to Rabbi Nachum Zember. He asked if he could write some Oris. So he wrote a whole kuntras, 100 pages long, commenting on the Eser Kedushas. But the Sifrei Zuta starts on Parashas Noso, listing off the Eser Kedushas with slight discrepancies from the way it appears in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph and Kedem. So he wrote a whole 100-page kuntras on all the different dinim of the Eser Kedushas and what the discrepancies represent. So one of the points that he has is that everything he has there is fantastic. And everybody since then, whoever writes anything sharp about the Kedushas, they're all stealing everything from Rav Nachum Zender. He has all the marmakayim, he has all the ideas. Everybody just, some people are nice enough to quote the Shemamah, and most of them do not quote the Shemamah. How'd they get all his bikiyas with all the marmakayim? They all got it from the Nachum Zender. So he has this part. This part, Rav Soloveitchik never saw this, but he said the same shot. The Mishnah is mentioning that there are 10 levels of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. The 10 levels are the Kodesh HaKadosh and Bein Abadim, and then you have the Heichel, then you have the Ulam, then you have Bein Ulam Al HaMizbeach, then you have the rest of the Azor. So these are all 10 levels in Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah concludes the lowest level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash is that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. How can you prove that? So you can't prove it from the fact that only in Eretz Yisrael Yechav and Leket Shikha Pei Chumas and Maite Shmita Liyav and Chala. That's Eretz Yisrael. That's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That Kedushas Tefillin, Kedushas Mezuzah, Kedushas everything. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. You have certain dinim. How does that prove that Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas HaMikdash? So the Mishnah had to dig up some obscure dinim. The Omer has to grow in the Beis HaMikdash, but not in the Beis HaMikdash Mamish. All of Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. And the Mena, the Omer Eshtei Alechem, and the two girsas regarding Bikurim. That's a Shaila. Whether Bikurim is one of the many mitzvahs hatluyas b'aretz, so the fact that you bring Bikurim only from Eretz Yisrael doesn't prove the role of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. It's because Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas Haaretz, and the Chayvus Karka, the Chayvus Aguf, Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach applies all over the world. Chayvus Karka, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So is it that Bikurim is one of the many agricultural mitzvahs, that's why it only applies in Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't belong in this Mishnah. Mishnah is only trying to bring out the point that all of Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So these are two girsas in the Mishnah. But it has Bikurim, it doesn't have Bikurim. And our Mishnah is in Kalim and has Bikurim. And the Vilna Gaon writes on the side, it doesn't belong, you have to cross it out. And the Sefer Zuta Taka doesn't have Bikurim. So Menachem Zema points out that Tosfos and Bava Basra, Daf Pei Aleph, has two opinions. Whether Bikurim is from the mitzvah Satliyas Baaretz. No, that's not an agricultural mitzvah. That's a Gzeris HaKasuv. Reshit Bikuriyad Moscha. Chutzlar, it's not. It's not because Bikurim is a mitzvah Satliyas Baaretz. It's a separate reason. Bikurim is only in Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael has Kedushas based on Mitzvah. Where do we see this concept in the Gemara that Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas based on Mikdash? We find it in the concluding Pasuk in Hazinu. The Pasuk says, V'chiper ad masa yamay. You have to look there, what's the context? So Rashi gives you the Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk. You look in Hazinu, so it says there's going to be a terrible Holocaust, and the Jews are going to be destroyed, and the people will be wondering, where was God when all of this was happening? And then it says, after this terrible tragedy will be over, where was the God of the Jewish people when all this was happening? So it says, this we will survive, and we'll pass through this. And then it concludes, V'chifer ad masay amay. So Rashi writes, Pshuta shal nikra, the simple translation is, V'chifer means meloshen pius. God will appease his land, Eretz Yisrael will be built up again, and the Jewish people will be restored. The Chiper Ad Masa and the Chiper Amar. God will be Mephias in land, and God will be Mephias of Jewish people. That's the Pashup Shat and the Pashup. The Gemara, the end of Tzubis, gives an additional level of interpretation on the Pasuk. The Gemara says that whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonos. Whoever walks Dalar Amas in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonos. The Gemara says, it's more of a mechila. It's better. If a person moves to Eretz Yisrael while he's alive, that's a stronger degree of kapar. If a person dies in Chutz La'aretz, he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, that's a lower level. So the Gemara says you shouldn't rely on the fact that they're going to bury you lachamei reshim shana in Eretz Yisrael. It's better to go to Eretz Yisrael while you're still alive. That's what the Gemara says. So where do you have such a concept of kapar? Kapar usually has to do with Beis Hamikdash, with karbanos. You see that all of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a bechina of Beis Hamikdash. We have in the Tefillah Shloim HaMelech, when he built the first Beis Hamikdash, so he has three psukim that the Gemara Brachos talks about. At one point, Shloim HaMelech says, how can I build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? God is all over. God is not, doesn't have a body that you can put him in one particular location. So he raises the question, he doesn't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to build the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't understand Ein HaShemayim Mishmei HaShemayim Lo Yechal Chaluka Ba'achke HaBayis HaZeh. What did I build the Beis HaMikdash? He told me to build it, but I don't understand what it's all about. Then he farempers the kashya. He says, we need a Beis HaMikdash to have a makom tefillah. We have to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baruch Hu doesn't need it. Mitzidah, he doesn't need it. He's Maloi Chol Ha'aretz Kevayda. We need a Beis HaMikdash, we should have a location to daven. So he goes into a long dissertation, Shlomo HaMelech, and he says, if a Jew has someone who's sick in the family, has a dinter with a neighbor, we're going to have a mochama with the goyim, we're going to any sichzuch between people, everyone should come, the Jew should come, the goyim should come, everybody should come to the Beis HaMikdash Kedavim. Long arichas goes on and on and on and on, that the role of the Beis HaMikdash, the main role of the Beis HaMikdash, that's the Beis Tefillah. Like it says in the other psukim, ki Beis HaBeis Tefillah Yikar L'chol Amin, Beis HaMikdash is a Beis Tefillah. The Shlomo HaMelech has three psukim which change the story a little bit. He says, "Ispalo Elecha Derech HaBayis Hazeh." He says, everybody should come to the Beis HaMikdash to pray. Then he says, "Ispalo Elecha Derech HaBayis Hazeh." When they daven, they should face the Beis HaMikdash. Then he says, another pasuk, "Ispalo Elecha Derech Ha'ir Hazos." They should face Yerushalayim. Then he says, "Ispalo Elecha Derech Artzam." They should face Eretz Yisrael when they daven. So which is it? So the Gemara says it depends. If you have the ability to go daven in the Beis HaMikdash, come to the Beis HaMikdash. If it's not that easy to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so you should face the Beis HaMikdash. If you live outside of Yerushalayim, don't face the Beis HaMikdash, just face Yerushalayim. Let's say I live outside of Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash is over there. I'm not mechuyev to face over there. I could just face Yerushalayim. That's good enough. And if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't even have to face Yerushalayim. You just face any part. Let's say I live I live in an area, I can face northern Eretz Yisrael. Do I have to tilt myself to face Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, no, if you're davening in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to do Vispala Lecha Derech Yirazot. But if you live in Chutz Lortz, you don't have to try to face Yerushalayim. It's sufficient if you face Eretz Yisrael. So you see that that's what the Gemara seems to be saying, Pshat in the Psukim and Tvila Shlomo, that all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas based on Migdash. Yerushalayim has a higher level of Kedushas based on Migdash. Eat Korban Pesach and Kodshim Kalav there. So that shows that it has a certain degree of Kedushas based on Migdash. So when the Gemara learns up in the Pasuk that Kol HaMahalach Da'al HaRamis Beretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Avonos, that's because all of Eretz Yisrael, Mechilas Avonos always has to do with Karbonis and the Beis HaMikdash. You see that all of Eretz Yisrael has, in a certain sense, a lower level of Kedushas based on Migdash. So that's Rabbi Nachum Zemes' interpretation of the Mishnah, that the Esek Kedushas are listing off the 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdash. All of Eretz Yisrael has a double Kedusha. As a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael that's relevant for the agricultural mitzvahs, what we call the Chodesh Karka, the mitzvahs of Kli Yisbarach. Then all of Eretz Yisrael has the lowest level of Kedushas based on Migdash, and that's relevant for Kavakovah Eretz Yisrael, Karam Havach Dal Aramis Eretz Yisrael, Yisbala Lecha Derech Artsam to face Eretz Yisrael. And with respect to the Omer Shtei Alechem and possibly the Bikurim. Then there's another unrelated topic, a sixth Indian of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is Mitzaref all of Klal Yisrael together. There is a Mishnah Mchoris on Daf Tov Tes where the Mishnah talks about a Dayan who has Smicha. Paskin Zashayli made a mistake. What's the din? So the Rambam gives a little bit of a discussion there in his commentary, the Pirush HaMishnayos, Amchoros and Daf Chav Tes, regarding Smicha. So he quotes some of the Gemaras, all the dinim appear in the first Perek and Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Both the Masmich and the Somuch have to both be in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam gives an explanation for this. So he writes, we understand this based on the Gemara in the beginning of Hayriyas. The Gemara in Hayriyas, the first parak talks about the institution of Par HaLadavah Shel Tziva. Par HaLadavah Shel Tziva means like this. If a private person is Mechal HaShabbos B'Shoigeg, or Eid Chametz B'Pesach B'Shoigeg, or Eid Chel V'Dam B'Shoigeg, that's the being a Korban Chatos. What's the rule? Whoever violated an Aver B'Shoigeg, which, if violated the Nezid, one would have been Chayav Koreis, so one violates that Aver B'Shoigeg, so the Chumash says that it's Chayav Chatos. So that's if a private person does the Aver. What if it's not his fault? What if the Bez Nagodol Paskin that you're allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos? You're allowed to turn, the chief rabbi says you're allowed to turn on lights. You're allowed to turn on lights. Everybody's turning on lights. Then they reverse their psak. Let's say the Bez Nagodol after 70 years, no one is alive, and that Bez Nagodol, they had different composition. They never backed out. But the next, 50 years later, 70 years later, the next Bez Nagodol backs out. So they put an advertisement in newspapers. The Bez Nagodol 70 years ago made a mistake. You're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbat. You're not allowed to turn on lights. It's a Malacha Derech. So it turns out that all of Klal Yisrael violated the Issa. Everybody was Mechal Shabbat B'Shegeg. So do you say that everyone has to be a Korban Chatos? So the Gemara says that that's the institution of Par HaLavdavah Shel Tzibur. If Raiv HaTzibur violated the Issa Kores B'Shegeg because of the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol, why is it a mistaken psak? Because the Bez Nagodol later on backs out. Either the same people back out, or 20 years later, 50 years later, the institution of the Bez Nagodol backs out. So rather than say that each and every individual person is chayv to bring a Korban Chatos, Bez Nagodol brings a Par HaLadavah Shel Tzibur, and this is Mechaper on everybody. So the Gemara has a discussion in the beginning of Hayriyas, how do you calculate whether 51% of the Tzibur violated the Aveira? Who's included in Klal Yisrael? The Gemara says only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lars don't count. What kind of a din is that? So the Gemara says it based on a pasuk. It says, well, Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash. So the Jews came from all over, from the northernmost point in Eretz Yisrael to the southernmost point in Eretz Yisrael. They all came to Yerushalayim to celebrate on the occasion of the Binyan Bais Rishon. The expression used by the Navi in Malachim is Kohol Gadol V'Levoi Chamos Ad Nacham Mitzrayim. The Gemara says only called Kohol those who live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, Levoi Chamos Ad Nacham Mitzrayim, from the northernmost point to the southernmost point. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are Jewish, but they're not part of the Klal Yisrael. They don't constitute the Tziruf of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, now he understands why he can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. What smicha has to do with agriculture. The farmers are getting smicha. The people who learn, probably not, some of them may be farmers, okay. There happened to be, there was one of the big goyim in Eretz Yisrael was Gedalia Neidel. I don't know if he's still alive. He was a farmer. He says the Chazon Ish opened up his eyes and he knows how to learn. Rav Chaim Kanievsky always quotes him as well. Gedalia Neidel told me this. Gedalia Neidel told me that. He suggested a Hagoah on the Rambam. He's a farmer. Okay. But usually the smicha is not conferred on the farmers. So why is smicha only restricted to Eretz Yisrael? So the Rambam says, because when the Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmud, it's not a private affair. He's giving smicha representing all of Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael, the tziruf of Klal Yisrael, the ikat tziruf is only those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The Tzvi Yesh has an essay in the end of, I think, the fourth volume of Tshuvas. He has an essay about smicha. So he brings out this idea. I don't think he quotes this Pirush HaMishnayos. He gives rise from the Gemaras. That smicha is the Rebbe who gives smicha to his Talmidim is giving it as representing all of Klal Yisrael, because the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin tells that when you used to confer smicha in the days of the Tanoim, the real smicha, today it's imitation smicha, we're not in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not Ish M'Fi'ish at Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. When they used to confer the real bona fide smicha, so the Masmichim would give the smicha in a public fashion. And the Romans made a gzeira, if anybody gives smicha, we're going to wipe out the whole city. So one Tana, Rav Yudah ben Bava, I think the Mishnah says, he felt he had to confer smicha to his students, but he didn't want to put all the people into Sakana. So he gave smicha in an open location that was far away from all the nearby cities. So that, and he gave smicha publicly, and they killed him, the Romans killed him, they caught him, and none of the other Balabatim were killed. So why did he? So the Sridi Yesh asked, why did he have to give smicha in a demonstrative fashion? Let him give private smicha. Nobody's going to know. So he says, no, apparently the din of smicha is that it has to be conferred in public. Like it says in Chumash, when Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, it says, v'tziviso sili yeneihem. You should give Yeshua ben Nun the charge in the presence of Bnei Yisrael. So apparently that's a real din d'oraisa. The real smicha has to be given in public, because the smicha is not a private affair that the Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmidim, it represents all of Klal Yisrael. Davni Nezer, in the first two tshuvas and the second Chelek Arachayim, starts with Hilchas Rosh Chodesh. So he talks a little bit about Kiddush HaChodesh there. So he quotes the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs lists off, he gives you the 14 klolim. What are the guiding principles to determine what belongs in Sefer in the Minyan HaMitzvahs and what not? That's the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. And the second half of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he gives you the listing of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So each mitzvah, he gives you a short paragraph. Here and there, he gives a long essay. So one of the long essays is Mitzvah Sesek Kuf Nun Gimel. The Mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibur HaShana, he gives a very long essay because he's in disagreement with a lot of things that the Gaonim said about this. The Rambam tries to set the record straight. So the Rambam says that the Rambam lived in Egypt. So he says that we today figure out when the Moilid is, and we have a whole system to determine when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. He says it's not that we determine when Rosh Chodesh is. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael today are the ones who determine when Rosh Chodesh is. So the Chasam Sefer says the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Who was in Eretz Yisrael in the days of the Rambam? Which prominent rabbis were in Eretz Yisrael? There was nobody there. There was a handful of farmers. The Chasam Sefer says, yeah. 10 Jewish farmers who live in Eretz Yisrael, they're Klal Yisrael. And then the Rambam continues to write. He says, the Jews in Eretz Yisrael today, they are Klal Yisrael, and they're the ones who determine when Rosh Chodesh is. Determining Rosh Chodesh is not done by the Bezna HaGadol. The Bezna HaGadol represents Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael makes Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibur HaShana. And the Rambam writes, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a haftocheh that Klal Yisrael would always survive. They'll never wipe out Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean that there'll always be survivors, individual survivors. That's not enough. The Rambam says, the Ribbono Shel Olam promised us that Klal Yisrael will survive. So he says there were always a minion of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Rambam writes, the way they have it, the Sefer HaMitzvah was written in Arabic, and it's translated into Hebrew. So the way it says in the Hebrew translation, assuming that it's accurate, so it says, and if one can imagine that there would be millions of Jews living all over the world, and there wouldn't be any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, Chas v'shalom, that's what it says in the translation, Chas v'shalom, that would mean that God violated his promise, that there's no Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael only refers to those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer in his tshuva puts together these two statements of the Rambam. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayos in Choras Daf Chavtes wrote that the reason why he cannot confer smicha in Chutz Lars is because smicha is an Indian that Klal Yisrael gives smicha to this person. Not a private thing, a Rebbe gives smicha to his Talmud privately. The Rebbe represents Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael is only in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says that today the Kiddush HaChodesh, the Kviyas Rosh Chodesh, the Kviyas HaZmanim is done by the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael because they constitute Klal Yisrael. You have a few dinim in the Rambam where the Rambam writes the din depends on Eretz Yisrael, but he says it doesn't depend on that part of Eretz Yisrael that has Kedusha. It depends on the whole Eretz Yisrael, even though the Gemara says that the Kedusha Rishonah, when Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, and it took 7 years to do the conquest and 7 years to do the Chalukah, Sheva Shekopshu, Sheva Shechilku, so they were Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says, Harbe Krachim Kopshu Olam Mitzrayim, there are many cities, Harbe Krachim Kopshu Olam Mitzrayim, that in the days of Yeshua ben Nun they were Mekadosh them, and when after the 7 years of Golus Bavel the Jews came back, so when Ezra and Nehemiah were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, they weren't Kodesh anything. They were under their control. Eretz Yisrael was under the control of the Goyish king still at the beginning of the Chashmonaim. Then the Chashmonaim came along the scene, but there was no Kibush in the beginning of the Bayi Sheni. So they were Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. So Harbi Krachim Kavshalim and Sain, but not Kavshalim Bavel. There were a lot of areas which had a Kedusha Rishonah, which for political reasons, the Gemara says, the Rabbanim in the beginning of the period of Bayi Sheni decided they're not going to be Mekadosh. What are the political reasons? Shemitah. Moshe Shemitah was always a difficulty. It was very difficult to survive during Shnas HaShemitah. So it says, V'hinichum, the Rabbanim decided not to be Mekadosh all of Eretz Yisrael, k'dei she'yismuchu aleihem aniyim v'shviyis. That the aniyim, the poor people, should have a place to make a parnasa. They should work there. They should get the Maaser Oni there. If they're going to have the whole Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be Niskadosh, the same as in the days of Yishuv Ben Nun. So that they'll have to observe Shemitah all over. It'll be extremely difficult. So the Gemara has a tradition that they left out on purpose. The Rabbanim left out areas where they were never Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. There were areas which only had Kedusha Rishonah in the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, didn't have Kedusha Shniyah because there was a difficulty of Shemitah. So the Rambam writes, so the mitzvah Satliyus Ba'aretz Shemitah V'yavah Lekin Shikra Petrum Mizamaisis only applies in those areas that were given Kedusha Shniyah. If it had Kedusha Rishonah, it didn't have Kedusha Shniyah. So it's not the Kurdish, but Dusha Sar. So the Rama says, nonetheless, there are certain dinim that still apply there. There are certain dinim that are only applied to Eretz Yisrael that still apply over there. So what are those dinim? So he sounds like he says smicha. He can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, but it doesn't have to be that part of Eretz Yisrael that has Kedusha Shniyah. Any area that had Kedusha Rishonah, even though it never was given Kedusha Shniyah, it still is considered Eretz Yisrael when it gets to the din of smicha. Then we have a raya, the Minchas Chinuch has a raya, that during the 7 years of Golas Bavel, Eretz Yisrael was emptied out, they didn't have Kedusha, there was no Kedusha. And still, Tosis in the first parak in Sanhedrin quotes the Talmud Yerushalmi that the Kiddush HaChodesh should have been done in Eretz Yisrael. What do you gain by doing Kiddush HaChodesh in Eretz Yisrael if it's not the Kiddush, but Kedusha Yisrael? It's like Chutz Lortz. So you see that it doesn't depend, the din that it's Kiddush HaChodesh in Ibra Hashana has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. It's not a function, it doesn't depend on Eretz Yisrael, which has Kedusha Sa'aretz, with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs, Eretz Yisrael. And the same, there's a third din in the Rambam quotes the din of Egla Rufo. It says, Ki motzei chol ba'adomo, if you find a person who was murdered in Eretz Yisrael, and you don't know lo de mihiko, you don't know who the murderer was, the moradol ha'armen shasvibes ha'cholo, the three or five Rabbanim have to come from the Bez Nagorol, and then with the local Rabbanim they have to measure from the dead body to the closest cities to see which city is the closest, and then we assume, based on Korav, that the murderer probably came from that city, and that city needs a kapar, so they have to bring an Egla Ruf. So the Pasuk says it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam writes, the din of Egla Ruf applies even to those areas in Eretz Yisrael which were never given Kedusha Shniyah. As long as it was part of Eretz Yisrael, even if it only had Kedusha Rishayna, there's still going to be a din of Egla Rus. So the commentaries on the side of the Rambam point out, why is that so? Why do you have these three dinim? The din of smicha and the din of Egla Ruf, and then the Minchas Chinuch added on the third din of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Shana, that they depend on Eretz Yisrael, but they don't depend on the Eretz Yisrael. The Kedusha Saaretz, it depends on what's historically what was part of Eretz Yisrael. So that's the answer that the Radvaz on the side of the Rambam tells you, look, in the Sefer Kafta Baferach. The Sefer Kafta Baferach is a Sefer that was written by one of the Bali Atesis who moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he writes all about the dinim of mitzvahs. He writes about the geography of Eretz Yisrael, about the mitzvahs of Kli Yisrael, about Yantav Sheni Shel Golias, where you observe it, where you don't observe it. It's one of the basic svarim, Kafta Baferach. So the Radvaz on the side of the Rama refers it to this Kaftav Aferach, but the Kaftav Aferach deals with this Arishan already. So he says, obviously the Ramam thinks that they're two different dinim. With respect to the mitzvahs HaTluyas Baratz, of Lekin Shikrapeya, the Chumas and Mises, and the Shemitah V'yoyvam, Achala, and so on, that depends on Kedusha Saaretz. So whatever didn't have Kedusha Shniyah was never, didn't have Kedusha Saaretz, didn't have the mitzvahs HaTluyas Baratz. But with respect to the mitzvahs that depend on Klal Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is Mitzar of Klal Yisrael, giving smicha, the din of Egla Ruf. Egla Ruf is a din. That community needs a kapar. That city needs a kapar. That city, what's Mitzar of all the people together? It means those who live in Eretz Yisrael are Mitzar of together to be considered Klal Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz Lortz, the Gemara has a Loshan. All the Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are considered like Yechidim. That's a Loshan Gemara, the last daf in the first parak in Titus. The Gemara has a din that when you need rain, when the community needs rain, when the tzibur needs rain, you say the same talamot and baruch aleinu. If there's an individual person or a small group of individuals who need rain, they should say the same talamot and shmak aleinu. They shouldn't change. They shouldn't say in baruch aleinu. So the Gemara says that yes, the shaila of Rebbe, the days of Rabbi Yudan Asi, what about if ir gedolah kininveh? All the Jews in Ninveh need rain at a different season of the year. Doesn't correspond to the time that they need rain in Eretz. So what's the din? So Rebbe answers, Ki Yechidim Damo. All the Jews in Limachutz Lords are called Yechidim. They're not called the Tzibur. That's where the Minchas Chinuch quotes that Gemara to interpret the other Gemara. The Gemara says that we recite Hallel on Chanukah, but we don't recite Hallel on Purim. So the Gemara says there are two dinim of Hallel. There's one din of Hallel on Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. You say Hallel. It's an aspect of Simchas Yontif. But on Chanukah we say Hallel, that has nothing to do with Simchas Yontif. The Gemara says that's Zecha L'Nes. So the Gemara says, what about the Nes Purim? It's also a Nes. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara has three answers. So one answer the Gemara says is that Kriyas HaMegillah is Hallel. Kriyas is Zu Halela. We are Yotzei Hallel by reading the Megillah. The Gemara gives another answer. You only say Hallel when you have an independent Jewish government. Hallel Abdei Hashem Eloi Abdei Paro. So after the Nes Purim, we were still avodim to Achashverosh. Akati avodim to Achashverosh Anan. But after the Chashmonaim's Nes, that's when they established their own independent Jewish government. The whole several centuries from the beginning of Baishen until the days of the Chashmonaim, they had no independence. Other rabbis said that's why you recite. Makes sense to recite Hallel and Chanukah. And the third answer that the Gemara gives is that the Nes of Chanukah was a Nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. The Nes of Purim was a Nes that occurred in Chutz Lortz. But we only say Hallel over a Nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael. Manish Tana, why should you distinguish between a Nes that occurred in Eretz Yisrael and a Nes that occurred in Chutz Lortz? And the Maharsha on Erech and Daf Yud, this Gemara appears in Megillah Daf Yud Dalet and in Erech and Daf Yud. So the Maharsha on Erech and explains that you only recite Hallel Zecha L'Nes if it's a Nes Nigla. If it's a Nes Nistar, that doesn't warrant Hallel. So the Nes of Purim was a Nes Nistar. The Nes of Chanukah was a Nes Nigla. That a container of oil should burn for 8 days when it was only enough to burn for one day. So that's what the Gemara means to say. Nisim and Chutz Lords are usually Nes Nistar. Nisim and Eretz Yisrael are sometimes Nisim Gluim. So that's what the Gemara's Kavanah was. But the Minchas Chinuch does not interpret like that, Mashur. Minchas Chinuch says differently. You only say Hallel if it's a Nes that occurred to the Klal Yisrael, to the Tzibur. If it's a Nes that occurred to Yechidim, you don't say Hallel. So Neshe B'chutz Lortz, all the millions of Jews who lived in Chutz Lortz in the days of Amarat Chayester, all Ki Yechidim Dom. That's what he quotes that Gemara at the end of the first parak in Titus. The Jews who live in Chutz Lortz are considered Ki Yechidim Dom. So that's why you don't recite Hallel over a Nes that occurred in Chutz Lortz. That's a Nes for Yechidim. And The Nes Chanukah, that was a Nes of the Tzibur. So this is this idea that Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. Sounds a little secular, but that's the halacha. Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people, and it's the mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. So you only have smicha in Eretz Yisrael. You only have Eglah Rufa in Eretz Yisrael. Taisus writes in the beginning of Pesachim. The Gemara tells an interesting story. There was a non-Jew who was bragging to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira lived in Itzivan. He lived very far away from Yerushalayim. They had no telephone. They had no telegrams. So he's bragging to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, who's an old sick man, that I fooled all the rabbis in Yerushalayim. Every year I go and I eat Korban Pesach, and they don't realize that I'm not Jewish. The din is called Benecha Le'achabot. Not allowed to give Korban Pesach to a non-Jew. He fooled them all. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said to the guy, did they ever give you the aliyah, the fatty part? He says, no. He says, because they know that you're a guy. You ask them next time you ask for the aliyah, you'll see they're not going to give you. So he said, I'll show them, I'll fool them. So he goes back next Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira was an old sick man, he couldn't travel, and he couldn't call on the telephone. There's no way to notify them that this fellow's a guy. So the guy comes to Yerushalayim, and he says, he wants the aliyah. They say, what are you crazy? The aliyah is burnt on the Mizbeach. So he says, no, I want the aliyah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told me to ask for the aliyah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira told you, what are you, crazy? So they investigated and found out he was a guy. So then they killed him. That's what they want. Why did they have a right to kill him? Because he's a Ghana. So that's a long discussion. Why did they kill him? So Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Tosis is bothered with Akasha. Why didn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira go to Yerushalayim to be Oyla Regal and to participate in Korban Pesach? So to give one answer, he was an old sick man and he was a Safik Sakana. He's not mechuyev to put his life in danger, not mechuyev to get sick in order to fulfill the mitzvah. Then to give another answer, he lived in the Tzifin, the Gemara says. The Tosfos says, only those Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are not mechuyev. The Tosefta says that they used to come, they used to travel months to come to Yerushalayim to participate in Korban Pesach, but Tosfos says they're not mechuyev to. Only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not mechuyev. So on the side of the Tosfos they have printed, look in the Mishnah Melech, he says that the Tosfos doesn't make any sense at all. There is no such din. He never heard of it. There's a Gemara later in the first parak in Pesachim, Amdav Ches on the base, where the Gemara says, those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not mechuyev to be Oyla Regel. That's based on a pasuk, but it never says anywhere that one who lives in Chutz La'aretz is not mechuyev to participate in Korban Pesach. So the latest Svarim point out, the Mishnah Melech is right, there is no Bavli, but the Yerushalmi says beferish, that only those Tosfos is referring to. The Tosfos doesn't say where they got it from, but the Yerushalmi says those who live in Chutz La'aretz are not mechuyev to be on a regel, and they're not mechuyev to bring Korban Pesach either. And the logic behind it is that Gemara says in Yuma that Korban Pesach is considered a Korban Tzibur. It's an exception to the rule. Usually a Korban Tzibur is a Korban that's funded by the Machtus HaShekel money. Minimum Masaf not paid for by Machtus HaShekel, that's a Korban Tzibur. Korban Pesach, each person pays from his own pocket. So that should really be considered a Korban Yochid. So the Gemara says in Yuma that even though the Korban Pesach is not paid for by Machtus HaShekel money, has the status of the Korban Tzibur because it's Osi B'Chinufya. Everybody comes together. Chinufya means a big crowd. Everybody comes together and they all bring the Korban Pesach, the Tzibur. So that's what the Yerushalmi says. Because it's a mitzvah on the Tzibur, so the Tzibur is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever lives in Chutz La'aretz says Ki Yechidim Dor. The Or HaShulchan wrote, had a ninefold, he wrote Or HaShulchan Ha'asid. He wrote the regular Or HaShulchan and the Arba Chalka Shulchan. Then he wrote Or HaShulchan Ha'asid. What's going to be when we come back to Eretz Yisrael? What's going to be with Trumas and Mises? What's going to be with Shemitah V'Yayim? What's going to be with Karbanas? So he has all the dinim. He has a whole. The Or HaShulchan Ha'asid is a bigger set than the regular set of the Or HaShulchan. So he writes there about Machtus HaShekel also. He thinks that the Jews in Lima Chutz La'aretz not mechuyev to participate in Machtus HaShekel. He says that's a chayves ha-tzibur, not a chayves ha-yochid. And only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered in Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. Those who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered kichidim do. So that's the sixth inyan. Then there's yet a seventh inyan of Eretz Yisrael that's known as Medinas Yisrael. People view that terminology as if it's a secular thing, that the secular Zionist is it's not a secular thing. So they all quote the Rambam. The Rambam disagrees with the Rambam. The Rambam listed off what he considers are the 248 mitzvahs sesei, what he considers are the 365 mitzvahs loises. So here and there the Rambam disagrees, and he deletes about 16, 17 mitzvahs sesei, and approximately 16, 17 mitzvahs loises. So you have to replace them with others, because the Gemara says that 248 mitzvahs sesei. But if you cross out 17 of the Rambam's listings, you have to give others instead. So the Rambam, at the end of the section of the mitzvahs sesei, in the Sefer Mitzvahs LaRambam, the second half, first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, Rambam gives you the 14 klolim, the guiding principles, how to determine what should be included in the minyan mitzvahs, what not. In the second half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he gives you the two listings of the mitzvah sesei and the mitzvah lo sesei. So at the end of the chelik of the mitzvah sesei, the Rabban gives you the list of the mitzvah sesei that he's adding on, the 16, 17 mitzvahs that he would replace, that he would put in place of those mitzvahs that he knocked out from the Rambam's listing. And the end of the mitzvah sloises, he gives you the hashmatas of the lavim that he thinks the Rambam failed to mention. So it's famous, the Ramban, mitzvah dalet, at the end of the minyan, mitzvah sasei, the Ramban says he thinks the Rambam forgot to mention this mitzvah. V'harashtem esoretz v'yishavtem bo. We should establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam forgot to mention that mitzvah. And he goes into a long paragraph to explain the hashivas of establishing a Jewish government, and the Jews, it's a chiyuv throughout all the generations, not just Zman Abayis, whenever the Jewish people have the opportunity to, they have to put together an army and seize control of Eretz Yisrael and have a Jewish government there, and all the Jews should live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban thinks that this should be counted as a mitzvah. So the Megillah Esther is a commentary on the side of the Sefer Mitzvahs, who always comes to defend the Rambam from all of the hasagas of the Rambam. Megillah Esther was written by a man. It wasn't written by a woman. It's good if it's written by a woman also. But it happens that it was written by a man. His mother passed away as he was going to print. His mother's name was Esther, so he writes, he wants to, in memory of his mother, he's going to call the Sefer Megillah Esther. It's written in the 1700s. So he comes to defend the Rambam from the hasaga of the Rabban. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina as a mitzvah? So he says, the mitzvah is not noheges l'doros. The Rambam wrote in one of the klolim, in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, one of the rules and regulations is you only include a mitzvah which is noheges l'doros. The mitzvah is not noheg throughout all the generations, so it's not, it's a hirah shor, so it doesn't belong in the minyan of mitzvah. So why is the mitzvah of establishing a medina not noheges mazman zeh? So he quotes the Gemara, the end of Shavuos, the end of Maseches Ksubis, where the Gemara says, Gimel Shavuos HaJibi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Yisrael. You have a Shir Ashir, but there's a pasuk that's repeated three times. So it's a difficult pasuk, how to translate it. So the Gemara interprets, Ishbati Es Chamenos Yerushalayim, Gimel Shavuos Ishbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the Jewish people take three oaths, that Shelo Yimredo Bum is that they won't force the issue, they won't establish a government in Eretz Yisrael, Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, against the wishes of the nations of the world. So this is known as the Gimel Shavuos, that's the Gemara. So the first one, whoever wrote, the first Poisik, the first Talmud Chacham ever wrote that the Gimel Shavuos, it's an Agadah in the Gemara, we're not sure exactly what it means. The first one whoever wrote that the Gimel Shavuos is to be taken as a halachic statement is this Megillah Esther from the 1700s. So he writes, the Rambam holds that since we have the Gimel Shavuos, you're not allowed to establish a Jewish government until Moshiach comes. So therefore, it's not a mitzvah hanoheges l'doros. When Moshiach will come, we'll have a mitzvah again to establish a Jewish government. The days of Yeshua ben Nun, there was a mitzvah. The days of David Shlomo, there was a mitzvah. The Moshiach HaMashiach, there will be a mitzvah. But since temporarily the mitzvah is suspended, so that doesn't count as a mitzvah, so that's why the Rambam didn't count. So the Avnei Nezer has a long tshuva in Yeridei Chelik Beis. That was the Avnei Nezer lived at the beginning of the Zionist movement, when Jews were moving to Eretz Israel and making kibbutzim there. They were doing Avodas HaKarka. So they asked Avnei Nezer, does he think that there's a mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael b'zman hazeh? And in Tzilat, if there is a mitzvah, Avnei Nezer was a Chassidus Rebbe. And if there is such a mitzvah, how come the Gedolei Chassidus never went to Eretz Yisrael? That's the Shaila they asked. So he has a very long tshuva. He says, absolutely there is a mitzvah b'zman hazeh. And the reason why the Gedolei Chassidus didn't go gives you a whole explanation, because they wouldn't have any Chassidim there. So they'd be living off of the money that the Chassidim would send them from Europe. And they wouldn't have any Hashpah on the Arabs there. There was no Jewish Yishuv. So what are they going to accomplish by living in Eretz Yisrael? So it's an incomplete mitzvah, it's not under Jewish control. So he gives a whole explanation why they didn't go. But he says, absolutely, of course there's a mitzvah, there's none of it. So in the middle of his long tshuva, he disagrees with this Megillas Esther. So he says, with all due respect, Megillas Esther is wrong. What do you mean? The mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government doesn't belong in the Sefer HaMitzvahs because it's been suspended temporarily. Akrobas HaKarbonis has been suspended for a long time. We still count the Trumas and Maisvahs. We assume that today Trumas and Maisvahs is only with the Rabbanan. So still it's counted in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. How can you say that a mitzvah that's not noig today is the mitzvah Shein and the Heges L'Doris? No! The Rama Mento Hayruah Shor is not counted. When Moshe Rabbein commanded the Jewish people to knock on the next door neighbor's doors on Erev Pesach, that was once in the history of the world. So Hayruah Shor is not to be counted. But the mitzvah to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, that's a mitzvah on the Heges L'Doris. There are certain generations where you're not allowed to fulfill it because of the Gimel Shavuos, but that doesn't mean that it's not a mitzvah on the Heges L'Doris. So he said, that doesn't make any sense. What the Megillah Esther wrote, that doesn't make any sense. He goes ahead to explain what he explains. We'll get to it a little later. So the truth of the matter is, if you look in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs and in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam did count the mitzvah of Hakamas HaMedina. He quotes a Gemara. The Rambam starts off Hilchos Malachim with a quotation from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof, on the base. Gimel mitzvahs, Tetzavi Yisrael, Bichnisosim Ba'aretz. The Jewish people became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in this specific order. First is Lahamed Lahem Melech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Secondly is Lahachri Zarash Al-Amalek. Once you have a Melech and you have an army, you have to wipe out Amalek. And after it will be peaceful, then the third mitzvah to be fulfilled in that order is Livukos Lahem Beis Abchir, to build a Beis HaMikdosh. So the Rambam did count the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish Medina in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the Ramban belly aching about? What is he masking on the Rambam, that the Rambam mitzvah dalet? The Rama forgot to count the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish Medina. So the answer is, the Megillah says they misread the whole Ramban. That's not the mitzvah that the Rama forgot. The Rama didn't count the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, living in Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of establishing a Medina. He did count. Lamed Lamelech. That's the mitzvah of establishing a Jewish government over all Eretz Yisrael. The Rama never wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. In the Mishnah Torah, he quotes all the dinim for the Gemara, the end of Ksuvas. But in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that's the Ramban's HaSogah. Well, Rashi Mesoretz, we Yishavtem Bo, so the Ramban thinks those are two distinct mitzvahs. Well, Rashi Mesoretz, there should be a Jewish government controlling all of Eretz Yisrael, HaKamas HaMedina, that the Ramban did count that mitzvah. That was never a machloik, as the Ramban and the Ramban. The second half of the Pasuk, the Yishavtem Bo, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, so that's the Ramban's HaSogah. The Ramban forgot to count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's not a good question. How come the Rambam didn't count that mitzvah? You can't say Harua Shor. The whole Harua Shor is a mistake. The whole thing is a mistake. Establishing Medina, the Rambam did write. So the whole Megillah says is answering a non-existent kasha. The whole thing is mamash a mistake. That's a question. Why didn't the Rambam count the mitzvah that we should live in Eretz Yisrael? Isn't it a mitzvah menater? So in this mitzvah, there are various suggestions. So the Knesset HaGdolah has a suggestion. Maybe the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only midirabban. Are you all the psukim and chumash? That was Hoy Rosh Hashanah, that was for that generation only. The obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael is manazeh is only midirabban. That's not a popular notion in the Achronim. They all think that the Knesset HaGdolah is wrong. They think that the Rambam also agrees that there's a mitzvah in Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael even bismanazeh. So how come the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah? So that's what Davni Nezer comes to explain. He says, he postulates a klal. You have other kashas in the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. How come he didn't count certain other mitzvahs? So the Avni Nezer quotes from early Rachronim that they have a klal. He quotes one of the commentaries on Sefer HaMitzvahs. It's called Mayoni HaChachma. There's a pilpul Sefer on Bob Mitzvah. That's by somebody else, Mayoni HaChachma. And there's a Sefer Mayoni HaChachma on the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaHaRambam. So he says he has a klal which he subscribes to, that Abinezer thinks is correct. If you have two mitzvahs, one leads up to another one, then you don't count the mitzvah twice. It's the same mitzvah. So the Abinezer says like this, we have a mitzvah, hachrem tachrimim. You have to wage war, wipe out the Zionumas. And then after we wipe out the Zionumas, then we move back to Eretz Mitzrayim. Then you move back to Barapar. So what do you have to wipe out the Zionumas for? So he says, obviously, Hachrim Tachrim, you have to wipe out the Zionumas in order to move into Eretz Yisrael, Yishavtembo. So that's, he thinks that's the reason why the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael, because it's included in the mitzvah of Hachrim Tachrim. You have to wipe out the goyim who live there, who don't belong there, in order that we should be able to take their place. That's his answer. Other Achrayim give a different answer. Other Achrayim say there are many Svarim, commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvah. They're all very fascinating. It's a fascinating limud, Sefer HaMitzvah. Other Achrayim say that one who lives in Eretz Yisrael is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, Kol Ador B'chutz Lotz Kilo Ein Lo Alaka, Kol Ador B'chutz Kilo Yesh Lo Alaka. People who live in Eretz Yisrael are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a chelik of the mitzvah, Uboy Sidbok. You should come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other Achrayim give a different answer based on the Ramban on today's Parshas HaShavua. This pasuk says we shouldn't violate Gili Arayis. We shouldn't violate these Gili Arayis, the Toevas. He shouldn't do the Toevas because Eretz Yisrael will vomit you out. So the Ramban asked Akasha, Gili Arayis applies in Chutzlo, it's the exact same as Eretz Yisrael. Agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. So why is Eretz Yisrael vomiting out the people who violate the globe? The whole earth should vomit out those who violate the Gili Arayis. What has got to do with Eretz Yisrael? The Ramban has the famous comment that the Ikar Makom for Shmiras Kol HaMitzvahs is really Eretz Yisrael. So that's what many Acharedim say. The Rambam didn't bother to count Yishuv Eretz Yisrael as an independent mitzvah. It's part of the mitzvah of tzitzis, and part of the mitzvah of tefillah, part of the mitzvah of Shabbos and kashrus and taharas hamishpacha. Every mitzvah is enhanced if you fulfill the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, because the inyan makom hashmiras kol hamitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever the answer is usually assumed not like the Knesset HaGedolah, that the Rambam most agrees that there is a mitzvah in HaTorah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It is within reason. The Gemara says in Baba Basra that if you can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael, so you have an alternative either to live off of charity in Eretz Yisrael, or to live in Chutz Lotz and to make a parnasa, or the parnasa is so bad in Eretz Yisrael that it's gefelt. So then the Gemara says, under such circumstances, you're not obligated to live in Eretz Yisrael. Or that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. Oh, the Rav Chaim Meiser lived in Vilna. So he was always interested in living in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook was the chief rabbi. Cook died in 1935. He was the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael. Chaim Meiser died in 1940. So Rav Kook was corresponding with Rav Chaim Meiser, and they made up. He's going to move to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to retire from Vilna, and the Rabban is going to move to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook had a home for him, and he had a position with a title. He's going to be called the Reish Galusa. So he's going to live in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be called the Reish Galusa. He's going to have a salary. Everything fine. Then the last minute, Rav Chaim Meiser backed out, and he sent him a letter. He's not allowed to leave. Why? Because the Maram Shik has was a Talmud of the Chasam Sefer. So the Maram Shik has in his collection of Tshuvas, Chelet Yerudeya, he has a letter that he sent to one of his Talmidim. He had a Talmud who was in the rabbinate in Hungary. Maram Shik lived in Hungary. And this Talmud was fighting reform. That was what they were all doing at that time, fighting reform. And he didn't enjoy it. He enjoyed learning. So he was offered a position in the middle 1800s, offered a position of Rabbonus and Eretz Yisrael to sit and learn in Paschkin Shailas and to give shiur. So he said he's coming. He packed his bags, he's leaving. So he sent a letter to his Rebbe, he wants a bracha on the move. So Maram Shik sends him back a response. I can't give you a bracha, you're doing Keneged Adin, you're not allowed to leave. So he says, when you learned in the yeshiva by me, many of the boys went into business. They didn't all go into the Rabbonus afterwards. We didn't have the right to draft you into the army to join the Rabbanis, but you volunteered to join. And you're a general in the army. You're doing very well. You're fighting reform. You're successful. So he writes the Loshen that the general is not allowed to leave in the middle of the battle. The battle is not won yet. He says the captain of the ship is not allowed to leave till he sees that all the passengers are safe. That's the Loshen that Rav Soloveitchik used to use. He said that he thought that Rabbanim in America who are Roisik and Chinuch Rabbanis are not allowed to move to Eretz Yisrael and go into business. And he said because the captain of the ship and the general in the army. So I thought it was funny Lashonis, but that's what the Maram Shik writes. So that was the Lashon that Rav Chaim Meiser sent back to Rav Kook. He said he thought he'll retire and the younger people will take over. And the Rabbanim told him that he was a super genius, Rav Chaim Meiser. He was in charge of everything. He was in charge of that. Bad Hayeshivas for and learning and paskening and Zdoka Franiim and the Kihila. He was in charge of everything in Europe. They write that someone once sent a letter from South Africa to Europe. They just wrote Rav Chaim Moshe's name and the address. They forgot to write which city, which country. And it came there. Because there were so many letters that they sent from all over the world to Rav Chaim Moshe. The post office knew, the international post office knew who Rav Chaim Moshe was. So the Rabbonim in Vilna told him he's not allowed to leave because everything will fall apart, the whole kehillah will fall apart, that he can't be replaced. So that's what he wrote. He didn't think so, but the Rabbonim told him he's not allowed to leave, so he can't come, so he stayed. So that's the din is everyone has a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam doesn't disagree with the Rambam. Everyone has a mitzvah and a Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael. If it's bor b'cheshbon, if it's reasonable, if life will be reasonable, to live in Eretz Yisrael off of charity as opposed to living in chutz lo'aretz making a living, that doesn't make any sense. The second point that we mentioned earlier, we just mentioned it briefly, we didn't elaborate on it, was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Eretz Yisrael was gevoy mikol ha'aretz, is on the top of the upper hemisphere. And the third idiom was when Avraham Avinu walked around the borders of his kon Eretz Yisrael. In between that, we see in the Chumash that Terach, who was an Oved Avod Zara, was interested in moving to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mefarshim HaChumash say he was searching for spirituality. And everybody knew that Eretz Yisrael was the location of spirituality. So that's what the Kaftav HaFerach, right, that's what the Radvaz quotes from the Kaftav HaFerach, that he says there are two inyanim of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. There's one Kedushas Eretz Yisrael with respect to the agricultural mitzvahs that only set in after the 14 years to Sheva Shekov, Sheva Sheva Shechilkel. But there was another inyan of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael is a spiritual location. That was all along. That was from Sheshes Mebreshes. That was a special place. So that's what the Gemara has an expression, Avirat Eretz Yisrael Machkim. Of all people, Rav Kook had a different interpretation in that Gemara, that it doesn't say what people thought it said. I once, the first time I visited Eretz Yisrael, I happened to visit the Nazir. He lived in the same apartment building as Rav David Soloveitchik. So I went to visit Rav David Soloveitchik. I had some money for him. Then I noticed by the mailboxes that the Nazir lived in the same place. So I went to visit him too. So he carried on a very fascinating conversation. He used to have a yarmulke up here, and all of his hair was in between the yarmulke and his head. He never took a haircut. So he, a very fascinating conversationalist. His daughter married Rabbi Goren. He was trying to convince me. He said that his daughter's wedding was all vegetarian. He was trying to convince me to become a vegetarian, because the Shulchan Aruch says people that study Kabbalah have to be vegetarians. And he was a vegetarian. Then his wife screamed, "Don't make him any tzaras. His wife is not interested in becoming a vegetarian. He could buy your book on the corner. Don't try to convince him on anything." So in the middle of the whole conversation, he told me over a pshat from Rav Kook and that Gemara, it doesn't mean the way people think. It's a very fascinating pshat. But you see, the Gemara does have the Midrashim to Ein Torah Ketoras Eretz Yisrael. So this is other things, that there is gulas in Eretz Yisrael, that like there's certain parts of the globe, people have asthma, have to go to some areas. People have heart attack, heart condition, not allowed to go to other areas. You want to plant oranges, you can't plant oranges in the middle of Manhattan, it's not going to grow. There are different locations on the globe are mesugal for different things. Eretz Yisrael has a lot of gulas. The school of Eretz Yisrael that was there from Sheshes Mebreshes, that's unrelated to all the other six inyan. And the inyan of Medina Eretz Yisrael, to establish a Jewish government to control all of Eretz Yisrael, that the seventh inyan that we mentioned, that's unrelated to the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Even if you'll assume that the Golan doesn't have Kedushas Eretz, but it's still part of Eretz Yisrael, it's still part of Medina's Yisrael. The two are unrelated. Some of the Rabbanim are mixing up Kashi with Mon. What has Kedusha benegiat to the agricultural mitzvahs is not necessarily relevant benegiat to what part of Eretz Yisrael should be under Jewish control. Okay, these are the seven inyanim of Eretz Yisrael. Good enough. This afternoon, whoever is interested, I'm speaking upstairs on the fifth floor about Inyan Yom Atzmaut, unrelated to everything that we said. Have a nice day. Next week, what's the schedule? Questions and answers.